Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, a New Zealand man had a cockroach living inside his ear for 3 days.
Tony Kornheiser, that's nothing. I've had a ferret in my pants for a week. I love that word, ferret. It tells you everything you need to know. Ferret.
I don't know what a ferret is. I don't know what that is. You know?
It's a little, small, rat-like, furry thing, maybe the size of a chipmunk. It's a ferret.
Ugh.
It's awful.
Ugh.
If they call you a ferret, they're not paying you a compliment.
That's not
Welcome
good.
To PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Nets crush the Bulls, the Colts sound unsure about Carson Wentz, and Booger McFarland joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the Houston Texans firing head coach David Culley this afternoon. Culley went 4-13 in his only season in charge, though 2-2 in his last four. He fielded a team without star quarterback Deshaun Watson, who's been accused of sexual misconduct by 22 massage therapists. Culley's firing means the NFL is down to one black head coach, Mike Tomlin. Wilbon, what do you make of this decision, this franchise, and where this leaves the league?
The franchise is a joke. What are they doing? Seriously. They bring a guy in, you sit there and you have a press conference and you introduce him around a big market, Houston, the fourth biggest city in America. You say, he's our guy, we're going to have him. And first of all, it was fraudulent because you only gave him 2 years. I don't know how many head coaches are hired initially under a 2-year deal, but that told you something. And then he has no squad. He has maybe the worst roster in the NFL. And you can him after... You don't even have your star quarterback because of all the things you just mentioned, Tony. And Culley has a record that's only one game worse than the previous year in Houston where they thought, you know, Deshaun Watson had a great season individually. So they're a fraud to me, Tony, the Houston franchise, the Houston Texans. What it says about the NFL is that it's back in the usual position. It's back in the usual place it has been historically since Tony Dungy was hired in the mid-1990s. So I don't trust the Houston Texans at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, historically, you know how much I trust the NFL when it comes to finding, promoting, supporting black head coaches or the candidates for those jobs. So to me, this is just a day to be angry and surly, and I am.
Yeah. David Culley went 4-13. That's a terrible record. You can get fired at 4-13, but your best player is not on the team. And you're forced to go to a quarterback that nobody had heard of. Nobody at the beginning of the year.
No,
now,
you're right.
What is Culley's play in this? When he got hired, Deshaun Watson had already said, I want to get out of here. And all of this other stuff was beginning to come out. So he went in with his eyes open. You know, it is hard not to go to the racial aspect right here and right now. That it is undeniable that black coaches don't get as much time as white coaches to build a team or reverse the order of a team or something like that. And you see with Culley getting fired early and Brian Flores with 2 winning seasons getting fired in Miami. By the same token, every once in a while, there's a Freddie Kitchens, a white coach gets fired early. Joe Judge gets fired early. It is possible, Mike. It's possible that Brian Flores ends up in Houston because he worked with the GM in New England. And he has always said he likes Deshaun Watson. I mean, that could happen. The other part of this, Mike, is here's Houston and Miami hiring black coaches. Not everybody does that. Not everybody in the league has done that, and they at least did that. It becomes very complicated. It does.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in just the requisite sort of hiring. I'm interested in more than that. This is 2020, not 1986, all right? And so... I understand, Tony, getting hired is better than not getting hired. You're right about that. But, Tony, what's going on in Houston, really? They only want to hire black men to come in and clean up their messes. That's all they got in Houston. In Houston, they got one mess after another, okay? Rockets, Astros, Dusty Baker, and now they got this with the Texans. I mean, I'm not a big fan of anything in Houston anyway. And I look at this, and again, Tony, what's going to happen here, what needs to happen? There's going to have to be some outrage expressed, all right? Because that seems to be the only way that you get results. Put people on notice. And the NFL is slow and late and lazy to do that anyway, in the best of times. The Indianapolis Colts are still figuring out whether Carson Wentz is going to be part of their future following that team's pathetic loss to Jacksonville Sunday. General Manager Chris Ballard told reporters today that trading for Wentz felt like the right decision at the time, adding, quote, "I'm not going to make a comment on who's going to be here next year and who is not," close quote. Tone, doesn't it sound like Ballard is doing exactly that?
Well, I mean, you have not heard from the general manager, obviously, or the coach or the owner that they love Carson Wentz, that they're tied to Carson Wentz. Even though this coach, Frank Reich, went out to get Carson Wentz because he'd worked with him with success as the quarterback coach and coordinator in Philadelphia. I think you can go around the league, Mike, and you can look at teams that didn't make the playoffs, and you could hear this. Do the Browns have to move on from Baker Mayfield? Do the Dolphins have to move on from Tua? I think if the Rams lose against the Cardinals, somebody's going to say, do the Rams have to move on from Matthew Stafford because they had to move on from Jared Goff? Carson Wentz had a pretty good year. I think it was 27 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions. But that game against Jacksonville was so terrible that I think you can look at it and say, we cannot have this. Cannot have this.
Some of us know what Carson Wentz is and aren't afraid to say it. He's not a top-line quarterback. He's not elite. He's none of those things. He's not one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL. Not the way I look at it. So what's Ballard got to say? He's talking about how he told Carson Wentz, you got to make the layups. Dude, you got to make the layups of a decision. And if you let your head coach, Frank Reich, who I love and have known since he was a freshman in college, if you let him make the call for you, then that's on you, GM Chris Ballard. Do your job. You want to point the finger at everybody else and sound like a big old man about Carson Wentz? You didn't know Carson Wentz loses these kinds of games? Which, what have you been doing the last 3 or 4 years? I mean, Chris Ballard, seriously? That's the franchise he oversees, and they were dogs on Sunday losing that game to Jacksonville. So yeah. I don't want to hear from Ballard.
Terrible loss.
Or the Wentz defenders. They've been real quiet
terrible
the last
loss.
Couple of days. Please.
The other thing is, if you want to get away from Wentz, you got to have an idea who you're going to get. You know, you traded a number one pick to get him. You got to have an idea who you want to get. You're not getting Aaron Rodgers. You know, forget that. You know, it's Indianapolis. Stop. We go now to your Bulls, Wilbon. At home last night, catching a tremendous beatdown by the Nets, 138 to 112. The second half was a total rout. Brooklyn outscored Chicago 76-42. The Nets had their big three on the court because it was a road game and Kyrie Irving wasn't barred from the building. The Nets are now 13-3 over 2 years when all three of those guys play. Wilbon, does this establish the Nets in your mind as the team to beat in the East?
The Nets were already established as that. Now, last night, Tony, to be fair and honest about it on countdown, I said, I'll take the field. So that leaves me 3 or 4 options. But the Nets are the favorite. They were established as that when the season started, long before that. Vegas established the Nets as the favorite. So there's no going again. I didn't need to see that last night. The Nets needed to win that game last night. The Bulls had beaten them twice. One time in Brooklyn, the Bulls took the Nets apart once, the second game in Brooklyn. The Nets needed to win. They needed a big win with those three guys on the floor. They needed to demonstrate what they are, all right? So we finally got to see that, Tony, because they lost 6 of their previous 10. You know, they could have lost 6 in a row. They weren't playing well at all. They played last night. Those three guys played like a big three. They did take the Bulls apart. That's the end of that season series, which the Bulls win 2-1, which could help in a tiebreaker. But we got to see it more than a quarter. I got to see the Nets do that for some games. Not one quarter when they're backed up and the Bulls are coming off a back-to-back. And the Bulls, I figured the Nets would do that last night. Got to see more than one quarter.
After that game, I believe James Harden was quoted as saying, yeah, we're that good. Listen, this is 2 MVPs and the best ball handler in the world. Irving and Durant and Harden together are every bit as good, if not better, than Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. They are, in fact, that good. Well, I'm going there. I just went there.
Okay.
Went there. They are that good. But if the guy can only play on the road, it's not going to matter. So there's a story in the Daily News that there's a $5,000 capped fine if you bring somebody into the building who's not vaccinated. And the Daily News story calculates that if the Nets wanted to pay $88,000, They could buy a seat for Kyrie Irving in that building for the rest of the regular season. This would be a public relations disaster. What about people who say, wait, I've lost people in my family to COVID, and you're going to spend money to bring this guy in who is unvaccinated? I'd like to hear what Adam Silver says about this. I'd like to know where the NBA is on this issue.
If good point, Tony. I'd like to know. If they do it, and Tony, they got a real, they're facing a conundrum there for the obvious reasons, particularly PR nightmare here in New York.
Well,
they bailed out on their principles once, Mike.
They bailed already.
They'll probably do it again. But Tony, they got to play. They can't just be on paper. They don't play the games on paper. So let's see the Nets put something together and continue it. That's what I want to
see. Let's take a break. Coming up, the Patriots and Bills will be playing in severe cold. We're going to ask Booger McFarland for his tips.
We'll also ask him whether he'd rather have Kyler Murray or Matthew Stafford as his QB Monday night. That's my quarterback. It's my quarterback.
Can we agree on this? Can we agree that the best big three ever were Durant, Curry, and Thompson? That's the best, right?
No. Bird, McHale, Robert Perry.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're less than 48 hours away from the kickoff of Wild Card Weekend, which makes it a perfect time to welcome back our great friend from Monday Night Countdown, ESPN football analyst, podcast star, Booger McFarland. I'm going to my glasses because I want to make sure I get this right. It's going to be really, really cold in Buffalo. The forecast is for 1 degree, and I believe I'm saying that correctly, 1. Bart Scott, this is the part I love, said he would take Viagra before a cold weather game to get his blood flowing, as Bart would say, can't wait. This is interesting. Booger, do you have any tips other than Viagra for how to prepare for a cold weather game?
Well, first of all, if I was looking for some experience with Viagra, I would ask the old guy in the attic. So, Tony, can you tell us, does Viagra help with the blood flow at all?
That's great.
Listen, Hey, guys, I can think of a lot of things to help me warm up, like putting on extra clothes, you know, putting some Tiger Balm on. If you ever noticed, if you ever watched Ray Lewis in cold weather games, Ray Lewis's arms would always be shining. And I used to always wonder, man, Ray Lewis is super tough. He's out here, it's freezing, but his arms are always shining. And then when I got in the NFL, I learned the trick. You put that Tiger Balm on your arms, you look tough, but you feel warm. I don't have any tips, guys. The only thing I ever did was I drank a little shot of whiskey one time before a game in Green Bay. The wind chill was minus 15, and let me tell you, it didn't help at all.
That is so great. That is so great. The old man in the attic. Yeah, we're gonna have to search that attic a little bit, Booger. Ben Roethlisberger says the Steelers don't have a chance against the Chiefs. That sounds like classic sandbagging where I come from. What do you make of that?
Well, I think there's some sandbagging in there, Mike, but he's being honest. Like, they're double-digit underdogs. Their offense has been abysmal all year. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be shut down, so the Steelers winning a low-scoring game is probably not going to happen. And so this is one of the rare cases where Ben is being honest, but he's also hoping honesty can help his team by somehow, some way, maybe Mahomes turns the football over like he did earlier in this season. Maybe the Steeler defense reverts back to the steel curtain. Other than that, and maybe the wind blowing sideways the way it did on Monday night in Buffalo, the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have a chance. And I love Mike Tomlin. He's a Hall of Fame coach right now. As we're taping this, he's the only black coach in the NFL as they fired David Cutley. So I love Mike T. But Mike T, they don't have a chance in Kansas City.
It's going to be a heck of an upset, which I don't use often that word in NFL playoff games. Jimmy Garoppolo says he feels something special with this Niners team. What do you think of their chances against the Cowboys?
Well, hopefully what Jimmy feels special is him completing the football to open receivers. Because if he can do that, Mike, you couple that with the way they run the football and the way that Kyle Shanahan can scheme plays, yeah, I can see this offense moving down the field. But the key is going to be their defense, because we know we've seen this Cowboy offense struggle. And how do you get to Dak Prescott? You're going to have to rush off the edge. And if you go back and you watch the 49ers play the Rams, I mean, that defensive line, Bosa and Armstead and Arden Key and those guys inside, they made Matthew Stafford look average. So if they can do that to Stafford, think what they can do to Dak Prescott, especially if that offensive line is not blocking. So I think there are two upset specials of the week potentially. The Raiders going into Cincinnati and the 49ers going into Dallas. If you gave me an opportunity and I had to pick an upset special, it would be one of those two games as far as the road team winning.
There we go. Upset alert, Tony.
Thank you for mentioning Matthew Stafford. It leads into this question, and we'll get you out of here on this, Booger. Cliff Kingsbury said he expects Kyler Murray to, and I'm quoting here, probably play the best game of his career, unquote, against the Rams on Monday, trying to boost up his quarterback. Which quarterback would you rather have in that game? Would you rather have Kyler Murray, or would you rather have Matthew Stafford?
You know, Tony, as far as the guy that can throw the ball, who I trust throwing the football most, it's Kyler Murray. But here's the problem. Kyler Murray doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins. He doesn't have one of the top five receivers in football, and that's nothing against Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk and some of the guys, A.J. Green, that he's going to be throwing to, but they're not DeAndre Hopkins. Now, Matthew Stafford has all the weapons. He's got Cooper Kupp, who statistically has had the best year as a receiver in the NFL. You got Odell Beckham Jr. You got Higbee, the tight end. You got a plethora of running backs, including Cam Akers, coming back. But I don't trust Matthew Stafford. So, Tony, this is one of those rare occasions where I don't know which one of these guys to pick. I do know this, and here's what I'll say. I think the player in any organization under the most pressure this weekend is Matthew Stafford. Because, Tony, and I wonder if you and Mike agree with this. For a long time, I looked at Matthew Stafford in Detroit, and I wondered, is he a great player that's just being held down by everything that's going on in Detroit? Or is Matthew Stafford an average quarterback who puts up a lot of numbers? Tony, based on what I've seen here lately, I would have to say it would be the latter. Like, he hasn't elevated the Rams to a different level. Like, he's not in the same stratosphere as Brady and Mahomes and Rodgers, the quarterback that they win because of. As a matter of fact, they lost the 49er game because of Matthew Stafford. So he's under a tremendous amount of pressure, and I can't wait to see him play. I would lean toward taking Stafford, but I don't have any confidence in Matthew Stafford whatsoever, Tony.
Booger, Wilbon will tell you that I sat on this set the other day and I said that team has been derailed and that I could not put my trust in them anymore. So I would echo everything you said. Thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you, Booger. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, man. Hey, Tony, make sure if you got an extra supply of Viagra in the attic, send Wilbon some.
Wilbon's the guy. They deliver it to me, care of Wilbon, though. It's supposed to go to him. Let's take one last break. Still to come, is Russell Westbrook just in a slump, or is it something worse?
And should the Warriors or the Bucks be favored in their matchup tonight? Once again, Tone, it's a ball night. It's early, but a ball night.
For you.
Oh, yeah.
How about Bart Scott?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey.
Happy time, people. Happy 60th birthday, Kevin Mitchell. The NL MVP with the Giants in 1989 when he hit 47 home runs and drove in 125. Mitchell played for 8 different teams in 13 seasons. 3 years earlier, he was on the Mets World Series winners. In the legendary 10th inning of Game 6, after Wally Backman and Keith Hernandez made the first two outs, Mitchell was allegedly out of his uniform and into his street clothes to go home. After Gary Carter singled, Mitchell was called on to pinch hit, and again, allegedly, he quickly put on his uniform and singled. Eventually, Mitchell would score the tying run off a wild pitch by Bob Stanley, and then the stage belonged to Mr. Buckner.
He had a couple of great seasons, Tony, obviously including that one. And yet, I don't remember about his career that much. He played for so many teams.
Happy anniversary, Randy Moss. On this day 17 years ago, when asked how he would pay the $10,000 fine, he was assessed for pantomiming a moon after scoring a touchdown in a playoff game in Green Bay. Moss uttered the now signature phrase, straight cash, homie. Moss never won a Super Bowl, but came ever so close with the 18-0 2007 Patriots. That season, Moss caught 93 passes from Tom Brady for 1,493 yards. But the eye-popping number was his 23 receiving touchdowns, which still stands as the single-season record.
He never, ever should have been fined for a pantomime. Are you kidding me, NFL, for a pantomime? And now the irony is, of course, he may be the best-dressed guy in sports television, Randy Moss, maybe.
Happy trails, Damian Lillard. Portland's all-star guard had abdominal surgery this morning to correct an injury he suffered while playing for Team USA in the Tokyo Olympics. Lillard is likely to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks. He last played on December 31st. Not only is Lillard out for an extended period, but his backcourt mate, CJ McCollum, continues to be out indefinitely after sustaining a collapsed lung. Portland, a perennial playoff team, is currently in 10th place in the Western Conference under first-year coach Chauncey Billups. Lillard, who is reportedly looking for a $107 million extension, is down in shooting and scoring this season.
Yeah, he's down in those things, Tony, probably, because he's had this injury, a serious one, since the Olympics.
That's right.
How's he going to play through that and be the usual Dame? Dame time. You can't. That's crazy.
Quick to the big finish, Mike.
Let's
the Hawks traded Cam Reddish to the Knicks for Kevin Knox and a projected first-round pick. Does it make sense?
I don't know if it makes sense, but the Knicks should be a lot better with Reddish in that lineup. I like that move for the Knicks. Russell Westbrook, 2-for-14 from the field last night. Lakers lost to the Kings again. Your thoughts?
He had a bad night. I love him. Sorry, I love Westbrook. I do. Warriors at Bucks tonight. Who do you favor?
Ooh, this is a tight one. I think the Bucks at home. They're starting to get it together. They've lost a few lately. Tuukka Rask expected to make his season debut with the Bruins against the Flyers tonight. Big deal?
He's a great goalie. Of course it's a big deal. Last one, 14-3 BYU at number 2 Gonzaga tonight. Do you smell an upset?
Nah, Gonzaga's playing to get back in the number 1 spot. I don't.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number 1 selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.